Topic 155, Shambhala. 1. Shambhala, where they, Sanat Kumara and his pupils, dwell, exists in physical matter as do the Kumaras, but it is matter of the higher ethers of the physical plane, and only when man has developed etheric vision will the mystery lying beyond the Himalayas be revealed. From a treatise on cosmic fire, page 753. 2. Though Shambhala is spoken of as existing in physical matter and as occupying a definite location in space, the physical matter referred to is etheric, the Lord of the world and his assistants of the higher degrees occupying bodies formed of etheric matter. It was decided about 17 million years ago, the coming of the hierarchy and the founding of Shambhala being about 18.5 million years ago, to have on the dense physical plane an organization and a headquarters for the mysteries, and to have a band of adepts and chohans who would function in dense physical bodies and thus meet the need of the rapidly awakening humanity. From a treatise on white magic, page 378. 3. The first outpost of the Shambhala fraternity was the original temple of Ibiz, and it was located in the center of South America, and one of its branches at a much later period was to be found in the ancient Maya institutions. A second branch was later established in Asia, and of this branch the Himalayan and southern Indian adepts are the representatives, though the work is materially changed. At a later date than the present, discoveries will be made, revealing the reality of the old form of hierarchical work. Ancient records and monuments will be revealed, some above ground, and many in subterranean fastnesses, as the mysteries of Central Asia, in the land stretching from Chaldea and Babylon, through Turkestan to Manchuria, including the Gobi Desert, are opened up. It is planned that much of the early history of the Ibizan workers will be revealed. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 379. 4. The most obvious and powerful force in the world today is that of the first ray of will and power. This is the force that pours into the world from the major world center, Shambhala. Little is known of Shambhala. Only twice before in the history of mankind has this Shambhala energy made its appearance and caused its presence to be felt through the tremendous changes that were brought about. 1. When the first great human crisis occurred at the time of the individualization of man in ancient Lemuria. 2. At the time of the great struggle in Atlantean days between the Lords of Light and the Lords of Material Expression. This little-known divine energy now streams out from the Holy Center. It embodies in itself the energy that lies behind the world crisis of the moment. It is the will of God to produce certain radical and momentous changes in the consciousness of the race, which will completely alter man's attitude to life and his grasp of the spiritual, esoteric, and subjective essentials of living. It is this force that will bring about, in conjunction with second ray force, that tremendous crisis, the initiation of the race into the mystery of the ages, into that which has been hidden from the beginning. From The Destiny of Nations, pages 12 through 13. 5. I would also remind you that the use of first ray energy inevitably means destruction in the early stages, but fusion and blending in the later and final results. If you study the nations of the world today from this angle, you will see this Shambhala energy of will working out potently through the agency of certain great outstanding personalities. The Lord of Shambhala, in this time of urgency, from love of the life aspect and from understanding of the plan, as well as from love of humanity, is sending forth this dynamic energy. It is form-destroying and brings death to those material forms and organized bodies which hinder the free expression of the life of God, for they negate the new culture and render inactive the seeds of the coming civilization. From this display of energy, unthinking humanity draws back in fear and likes it not. When full of personality, hate, and self-will, human beings seek often to turn this energy to their own selfish ends. If human beings, even the best of them, were not so undeveloped and so superficial in their judgments and their vision, they would be able to penetrate behind what is going on in the key countries in the world and see the gradual emergence of new and better conditions and the passing away of the loved but slowly decaying forms. The energy of Shambhala is, however, so new and so strange that it is hard for human beings to know it for what it is, the demonstration of the will of God in new and potent livingness. The problem of the hierarchy at this time is to produce a wise and adequate fusion of the Shambhala and hierarchical energies, and thus temper destruction and bring to the fore the spirit of construction, setting in motion the building and rehabilitating forces of the second ray energy. The Shambhala energy prepares the way for the energy of the hierarchy. Thus it has been from the beginning of time, but the cycles of the hierarchy, though relatively frequent, have not coincided with those of Shambhala, which are rare and infrequent. As time progresses, the impact of the Shambhala force will be more frequent because men will develop the power to stand and withstand it. Hitherto, it has been too dangerous an energy to apply to mankind, for the results have worked out destructively, except in the first great Lemurian crisis. Its work has therefore been confined almost entirely to the hierarchy, whose members are equipped to handle it and to assimilate it correctly, and also to use it for the benefit of humanity. Now the experiment is being attempted of permitting man to receive it and its impact, free from the mediation of the hierarchy. It may prove a premature and abortive effort, but the issues are not yet determined, and the Lord of Shambhala, with his assistance, and with the aid and the watching members of the hierarchy, are not discouraged over the initial results. Humanity is responding unexpectedly well. There has been much success along this line, but the results do not appear with clarity to intelligent human beings because they refuse to see anything except the destructive aspect and the disappearance of the forms to which they have hitherto anchored their emotions, their desire, and their mental perceptions. They fail as yet to see the irrefutable evidence of constructive activity and of true creative work. The temple of humanity in the New Age is rising rapidly, but its outlines cannot be seen because men are occupied entirely with their individual or national selfish point of view and with their personal or national instincts or impulses. Most of the response to the Shambhala activity is characterized by fear and terror, by sensitivity and distressingly developed reactions to the forces of hate and separation. Only a few here and there really grasp the vision of the future and realize what is going on, seeing truly the beauty of the emerging plan. It is with these few that the members of the hierarchy can work, because they, even when lacking understanding, bear no ill will or hatred to others. Love is a great unifier and interpreter. From the Destiny of Nations, pages 17 through 20. 6. Humanity is the result of all subhuman forms of expression and experience and of the activity of superhuman beings. These superhuman beings are the product of past evolutionary systems and are in themselves the sum total of the great divine sacrifice, as it focuses itself in our planetary life. Having passed through all previous phases of existence and perfected the consciousness aspect in themselves through human experiences, they have transcended all that men can know and all states of consciousness with which he is or may be in the future familiar, and are now expressing a phase of divinity of which he can know nothing. They live. They are energy itself, and in their totality they form the bright center lying far ahead, Shambhala. From a treatise on the seven rays, volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 78 through 79. See also Discipleship in the New Age, volume 2, pages 404 and 519 through 520.